Okay, Chevra, welcome back for our final shiur of this man. We're going to delve into tonight in Yonei Machshava related to the Seder, related to the Haggadah, and we're going to focus on the transition from Avdus to Chayrus and how that takes a central place in our experience of the Seder. So let's begin as follows. The Mishnah Psachim Kuf Tes Zayin Amid Aleph. So it tells us that a father should teach his son according to the capacity of the child. And then afterwards, the Mishnah says that a father should begin with genus and conclude with shevach. Maschil begenus u'mesayim b'shevach, and extrapolate the entire parsha of Arami Ovidavi, parsha Sarami Ovidavi. And then the Gemara records a debate between Rav and Shmuel. What exactly is the genus that the Mishnah refers to? Rav says that it refers to Metchila Ovdei Avodas Gilulim Hayu Avosenu, and according to Shmuel, it refers to Avadim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. Probably the most, classical pshat is that according to Rav, we focus on the spiritual galus, the spiritual genus, the fact that our ancestors were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Ve'achshav Karavanu Hamakom LaAvodaso. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken us as His nation, brought us close to His worship. And according to Shmuel, we focus on the physical labor, on the physical exodus, then in Mitzrayim, we are forced to endure back-breaking work. And now, we are not Avadim Lefaro, but rather Avadim LaHashem. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, Perek Zayin, Halach Adalit, he codifies the requirement of Maschil Begnus, U'Mesayim B'Shevach, and it's referenced in Shulchan Aruch as well, this idea of beginning with genus, beginning with the downtroddenness, beginning with the negative, and then transitioning to the positive, bringing ourselves to a place of praise. It's certainly familiar to us, certainly takes up a lot of our attention during the Seder. So I want to focus with you tonight on trying to really delve into the amkus, into the depths of what lies behind this idea of maschil begnus u'mesayim b'shevach. Just a little background to how we know that that we are supposed to structure our sipur in this way, by starting with genus and then concluding with the shevach. How do we know this? So Rabbeinu Manoach, in his commentary on the Rambam in Chametz Umatzah Zayin Dalit, he explains that both Rav and Shmuel are actually supported by psukim in the Torah. According to Rav, we have the pasuk of Vayotzi'enu Hashem Elokeinu Mimitzrayim. We have the pasuk of Vayitzavenu Hashem La'aso says Kol Achukim Ho'ele Liyira, where that the context of that pasuk is talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's at the end of Arami Ovi Ravi. And the pasuk says that Hashem took us out in order to fear Him. So the implication is that beforehand, before we were taken out, so we weren't fearful of the Ribono Shel Olam. Meaning to say that, unfortunately, before we were taken out of Mitzrayim, we had strayed after other deities, such that Yetzias Mitzrayim was really the foundation of our belief. So Rabbeinu Manoach points to that pasuk, which shows that part and parcel of the Sipur is to begin with the Avodah Zarah, with Mitzchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avosenu, with the Genus. And in addition to that, Shmuel, who says that we begin with the physical labor, so that's even clearer in the Psukim, where the pasuk says, "V'amarta levincha avadim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim." You should tell your children that we were enslaved to Paro in Egypt. So clearly, we don't only tell our children that we were freed, but rather we begin from the beginning of the process. We begin with the stage of Avdus. While Rabbeinu Manoach points to some psukim in the Torah that are a hint to Maschil Begnus u'Mesayim B'Shevach, certainly the Derech HaMelech, the most taken view, is that of the Prima Gadim, which is, this is Midrabanan, meaning the Rabbanan instituted a certain way that we should tell over the story. The Torah wants us to tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, to be Mesaper, be Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then and then Chazal and the Rabbanan come along and give us a certain Nusach to follow. And in establishing that Nusach, they established that we should be maskil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shevach. So that's a little bit of background to where this idea comes from, that we start with mitchila, we start with avadim hayinu, and then we conclude with the shevach. So in order to get to the depths of this idea, I think it would be helpful to note a couple of intriguing questions, a couple of mysteries. So the first is as follows. I quoted at the beginning that the Gemara expands on what exactly the genus is. It quotes the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether it's the physical labor of Shmuel or it's the spiritual enslavement of Rav. But fascinatingly, the Gemara does not discuss what the Shevach is. We have a phrase in the Mishnah, Maschil Begnus Umesayim B'Shevach, and the Gemara defines only one half of that phrase. Only the Gnus, not the Shevach. Why? What underlies perhaps the omission of any discussion of what the Shevach is? Of defining that Shevach, seemingly leaving it totally ambiguous, and instead we're focusing only on the Genus. Question number one. Question number two. If you take a look at the Rambam does something fascinating. So the Rambam says, V'tzarech lahaskel b'gnus u'lesayim b'shevach. You have to begin with the Genus and end with the Shevach. Keitzad, how do you do that? Maskil u'mesaper shebetchila hayu avosinu b'mei terach, so you begin by saying that our ancestors were idol worshippers. You conclude with the true religion, with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us close to Him. And likewise, maskil u'modia she'avadim hayinu l'faro b'mitzrayim. You let everyone know that we were avadim in Egypt, v'chol ha'ra shegamalnu, and everything that all the bad that befell us, u'misayim benisim v'neflo shenasu lanu uv'chirusein, and then you conclude with all of the miracles that Hashem performed on our behalf, and the process of our freedom, of our redemption. Then notice what the Rambam does. He says v'hu, meaning that's a qualifier. The way in which you do this is by what? Shayidrosh me'arami ovid avi ad sheyigmar kol haparsha. You should begin with arami ovid avi and then finish the entire parsha of arami ovid avi, and of course you should darshan that parsha. Vehu. What is the Rambam seemingly saying with vehu? He's saying that the way in which you do maschil begnus u'misayim b'shevach is via the parsha of Arami Oved Avi. It's not enough just to say Avadim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham B'Yod Chazaka U'Vizra Nituya. That's not enough. Says the Rambam that to fulfill Maschil B'Gnus U'Misayim B'Shevach, you have to be Doresh Arami Oved Avi. Clearly the Rambam sees an Arami Oved Avi itself, a Maschil B'Gnus U'Misayim B'Shevach. And the question is, why? I mean, the Mishnah never said so. The Mishnah never said explicitly that Arami Ovid Avi is a fulfillment of Maschil B'Gnus U'Misayim B'Shevach. I'll read to you the Lashon of the Mishnah. U'lefidaito shel ben Aviv Milamdo, Maschil B'Gnus U'Misayim B'Shevach, v'doresh me'arami Ovid Avi, ad sheyigmar kol haparsha kula. If I were to ask you, how many things does the Mishnah say in that line, I think you would have told me three things. Number one, that the father teaches according to the das of the ben. Number two, that the father is maschil b'gnus u'misayim b'shevach. And number three, that he's doresh, the parsha of Arami Ovid Avi. But the Rambam took numbers two and three and integrated them such that the way in which you fulfill maschil b'gnus u'misayim b'shevach is through the parsha of Arami Ovid Avi. That's not at all pashut in the Mishnah. That's the Rambam's Chiddush. And the question is, why is it that Arami Ovid Avi would be the parsha that is chosen, that is necessary, in order to fulfill the din, the requirement of maskil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shevach. Clear so far? Okay. Now let's transition to a third question. Seemingly, we're going to encounter a lot of evidence that this idea of maskil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shevach is really expanded much farther beyond what the Mishnah says, or what the Gemara says. The Gemara has, according to Rav, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, according to Shmuel, Avadim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. But I'm going to show you three or four different examples, different nuggets of evidence that highlight that this idea of maskil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shevach, the dialectic of gnus and shevach, really permeates our entire experience of Magid, and perhaps even of the Seder in its entirety. So let's begin with the first example. The Mishnah, Psachim, Kuf Tez Zayin, Amid Beis. So it notes the Nusach HaBracha for Asher Ge'olan, the bracha that we say at the end of Magid. And the Mishnah says something very interesting. Then it says, Lefikach, Anachnu Chayovim Lahodos, Lahalo, Lashabayach, Lefoy, Lerom, Lahad, Lavarik, Lahalu, Kalis, Lemisha, Asa, Lavosin, Volano, Eskolanissimo, Ilu. What did Hashem do for us? Hotzi Onume Avdos Lacheros, Miyagon the Simcha, Ume Evel the Yom Tov, Ume Afela or Gadol. The text that we say right before jumping into Hallel, not the Bracha Asher Galna, but the text that we say right before jumping into Hallel, it emphasizes all of these contrasts, these dialectics. Avdus, Lecheiros, Yagun, Simcha, Eva, Yom Tov. Brian, couldn't we have just been satisfied with saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Motzi Lecheirus, and Lesimcha, and the Yom Tov, and the Or Gadol? Why did the Mishnah have to keep repeating not only the conclusion of the process, but also the beginning of the process, the Avdus Lecheirus? Seemingly, the Nusach here is very much patterned after the idea of Maskil B'Gnus U'Misayim B'Shevach. And what we're seeing here is that that idea is applicable not only for Avadim Hayinu and Mitchila, but it's an idea that really encapsulates the entirety of the night. It's strong. It's woven into the fabric of the night, of how we perceive the night and how we experience it. And that's why we say Hotzi Anu Me'avdus Lecheiros Miyagun LeSimcha. It's one example of the expansion of Maskil B'Gnus U'Mesayim B'Shevach. A second example, a Gemara we've seen together, Moshe Gemara about Haseba Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. If you remember, the Gemara had a suffik about Yayin. Do you do Haseba for the Dalet Kosos? And it said, there were two different versions of Rav Nachman exactly. Maybe you do a seba for the first two and not the last two. Maybe for the last two and not the first two. Why would we do for the last two and not the first two? So explains the Gemara that the latter two kosos would require haseba. Why? Because they happen, they apply, they transpire after the cheirus is already experienced. Whereas the former two kosos chevra, they wouldn't require haseba. Why? Says the Gemara, de akati avadim hayinu ka'omer. Because you're still saying avadim hayinu during the first two kosos. What's implied by that chiluk, by that distinction in the Gemara, is that the idea of maskil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shevach, the transition from avdus to cheirus, It's applicable not only in the content of Magid, but it actually divides the Seder into halves. The first two kosos, that's the gnus, that's the avdus. You rework your way through the experience of Mitzrayim. And then finally, you reach the chairus, and then you can embark on the second half of the Seder, the latter two kosos. But so much so as you're involved in the first half of the Seder, those first two kosos, and you're focused on that process of going from Avdus to Cheiros, then you can't do Haseba yet. Because you're still in the Avdus. You're still in the Gnus. Maschil b'Gnus u'mesayim b'Shevach, the first two kosos versus the final two kosos. I'll give you a third example. I think Brian was referencing this in our pre-Shir Hak. The Chasam Sofer has a beautiful, beautiful idea. We just mentioned that according to the Mishnah, we know that the Rambam expands upon this. The Rambam says there's a chiyuv de'oraisa to view ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim on the night of Tezvav Nisan. Rambam changes it to Chayev Adam Laharos Hasatzmo. We've discussed that many times. Commenting on that phrase, Chayev Adam Laharos Hasatzmo, the Chasam Sofer tries to explain why there's no Birkas HaMitzvah on the Haggadah. Why don't we say, Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvos of Tzivanu L'Saper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim? We don't have a Birkas HaMitzvah. The Chasam Sofer tries to explain why. And he says that the Chayev Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki Ilu Hu Yatzam Mitzrayim pertains not just to the end of the process, not just to the Cherus, but also to the Avdus, and not just to the Avdus, but that which preceded the Avdus, to the Gnus. Chayev Adam Liros Es Atzmo means that we experience the entire gamut of Jewish history that led up to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So if we are maschil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shevach, and Rav tells us that maschil b'gnus is mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu, then says the Chasam Sofer, chayav adam liros es atzmo, you have to view yourself as if you were in ovdei avodah zarah. It's hard to even say such a thing. It's difficult to let those words out of our mouths. But says the Chasam Sofer, a genuine transformation, a genuine transition, a genuine process is achieved only by experiencing each and every stage. So you have to begin from the very beginning, from the ultimate avdus, from the avdus of avodah zarah. B'tchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. Said that chayav adam liros es atzmo, not just that you left Mitzrayim on Tesvav Nisan, not just that you were led through the Midbar to the Yam Suf eventually. No. All the way back to the days of Terach. Terach v'avoseinu, who were ovdei avodah zarah. And if that's the case, we can't make a bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because on Leil HaSeder, we are bechinas geirim. We're converts. We were originally ovdei avodah zarah, and now we've reached the truth. Now we've reached that opportunity to serve the Ribono Shel Olam, to step into the waters of that mikvah of the Seder and say, we are yours. We are not ovdei avodah zarah, but rather ovdei Hashem. And of course we know that a geir cannot recite a bracha prior to the chalos of his geirs. The geir is one of the bracha on tevilas hager is one of the only brachos that is not said over la'asiyasa. The geir doesn't say the bracha prior to dipping in the mikvah, but rather afterwards. And likewise, when we experience our process of geirus on Leil HaSeder, we can't make a bracha before, because the chalos of the geirus hasn't yet taken place. Only afterwards do we become Ovdei Hashem, and going forward, we can make those brachos. We can say Asher Ge'olanu and make that bracha on the matzah and the bracha on the maror. So from the Chasam Sofer, what emerges is that the idea of Maschil Bignusu Mesayim B'Shevach is not just about the words of the Haggadah. It's not just about the structure of the Seder. It's about the personal experience of one's night on Leil HaSeder. He goes all the way back in history, Maschil Bignus, from the time of Avodah Zarah. And he gets to the stage of Mesayim B'Shevach, of when he's reached the pinnacle of being an Oved Hashem. And we know, of course, I'll give you the fourth and final example that we'll mention tonight. We know from our discussions of the sugyas of Arvei Pesachim throughout this Zman that the mitzvos halayla, the mitzvos of matzah and maror as well, convey the dialectic between genus and shevach. Maror v'aymaroru es chayehem, matzah al shum ma al shem shalom hispek as b'teiko mahachmitz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed us. The gnus of the maror and the shevach of the matzah is combined in the korech. Al matzos umrorim yochluhu. Ta'am matzah and ta'am maror are tasted together, because you cannot have one without the other. You have the gnus of the maror and the shevach of the matzah all together accompanying your korban pesach. Because that's the context, that's the framework, that's the foundation for the experience of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. So, chevra, what we've seen is that Maskel Begnusu Mesayim B'Shevach is not just the way we do Magid. Maskel Begnusu Mesayim B'Shevach is a mantra. It's the way we construct the Seder. Magid, the Dalet Kosos, Chayev Adam Liros Es Atzmo, the Mitzvos Halayla, you name it. We begin with the Gnus and we conclude with the Shevach. The question is, what accounts for this major, enormous expansion of Maschil Begnus and Mesayim B'Shevach? Last I checked in the Mishnah, the only thing it says is that you start with Gnus and you conclude with Shevach. Rav and Shmuel debate what the Gnus is. How do we know to take this and expand it beyond its boundaries to become the structure of Leil HaSeder? Yes, Moshe.
I'm guessing it's not supposed to be taken super literally, but just within the Chasam Sofer's idea, what would you say about Kaddish?
It's in his drashos. Yeah, I think it means once we get into Magid, right? Once you get into Magid, so you're going through the process of Avdus. In that case, Chayav Adam Liros is Hatzmo, so then you get all the way back into the shoes of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Okay. So, to answer our questions, to account for the expansion of Maschil Begnus and Mesayim B'Shevach, and the other mysteries, the other intriguing anomalies that we presented before, we really have to get knee-deep, we have to get to the bottom of this idea of why Maschil Begnus and Mesayim B'Shevach carry so much significance. The Rishonim and the Achronim, so they explain that the organization of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim helps us achieve the ultimate goal of telling the story. Any good storyteller knows, I'm not the best of storytellers, but you can definitely ask them. Any good storyteller knows that the punch of his story is going to depend a lot, not only on what he says, but how he says it. What's his organization? Where does he start? What's in the middle? What's at the end? Says the Meiri, in Psachim, Kuf Tes Zayin, Amid Aleph. Maschil Begnus Ritzono Lomar Havanim Hayinu, Kedei Sheyefarsim Es Ha'avdus Lehagia Mimenu Lechvod Shechrura. We begin with the Gnus, with the Avdus, and we publicize it so that from there we can get to Kevod Shechrura. We can understand the fullness. We can understand the greatness of the freedom. Says the Maharsha, Inyano shebiyom simchas libo shel adam. On a day on which a person rejoices, yizkor techila shefluso ugnuso. One should recall his humble beginnings. Shelo sazuach daito alav. So that he doesn't lose himself within the joy and the rapture of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Umehay taima. Doresh nami me arami ovid avi. You start with arami ovid avi. You refer to the gnus. V'al korchach ba'i le'oduye u'le'shabuche tvei. And by force, the natural outcome will be that you will praise and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more. The Me'iri and the Maharsha, they're both explaining that the quantitative and the qualitative stature of one's thanksgiving, of one's hoda'ah on the night of the Seder, is fundamentally transformed by transitioning dafka from gnus to shevach. Not by skipping to the end, but by organizing the story of Magid by beginning with the gnus and only from there getting to the shevach. By internalizing your past trials and tribulations. So what you do is you come to appreciate even more so the stature, the gravity, the weight of that salvation. You increase your praise for that salvation. But Chevra, let's dig a little bit deeper. How does that work? How does the integration of the gnus into the story influence the shevach? Why is it that by being maschil b'gnus, our shevach becomes even greater? That we praise even more, and that our praise is even more qualitative. Why is it that the shevach is transformed by a preceding gnus? So I want to present to you here two mahalchim. The first one is that by being maschil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shevach, we realize in retrospect how much we actually benefited from the galus. This is a classical take of some Rishonim to the topic of Yisurin Shel Ahava. That Yisurin Shel Ahava mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu might inflict us in the moment, but in retrospect, we realize that that was all for the sake of His love for us. In his Haggadah of the Leil Shimurim, the Aruch HaShulchan, so he explains that the Gnus puts the Galus into perspective. It helps us reflect on the benefits that accrue to us and how we grew from that Galus, what we gained from the Galus. The Maharal, he explained, Gvuros Hashem Perek Nun Beis, he explains that Maschil B'Gnus U'Mesayim B'Shevach shows us that the Geula was directed. It wasn't happenstance. It wasn't just something that came out of nowhere that wasn't connected back to something else. By starting with the Gnus, you realize the connection of the dots, that Geula is parallel to that Gnus. The Geula comes to save you from that Gnus. It's not just the Stam Geula. What are these benefits that the Aruch HaShulchan and the Maharal have in mind? So I want to mention a few. The Abu Draham, in his commentary on Vihisha Amda. So he mentioned, Shalo echad bilvar amar aleinu lechaloseinu, v'hakadosh baruch hu matzileinu miyadam, kedei laharos hashgachaso b'Yisrael, mekim lohem b'chol dor oivim, u'matzil osam miyadam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends enemies. He confronts us with troubles, with challenges, so that he can display his hashgacha, to provide a context in which it will become clear to us that he oversees our lives as individuals and Kol Shekein as a nation. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashgiach. The way that humanity feels the hashgachas Hashem is from a place of conflict, is from a place of tension. When everything is smooth, when everything is fine and dandy, so we tend to forget. We tend to forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one sending us that bracha. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronts us with challenges, provokes us in a certain way, prompts us to realize who's there, who's knocking on the door. Kedei laharos hashgachos b'Yisrael. So when we meet the challenge of Avdus Mitzrayim in this case, and then eventually we're freed, what we realize in retrospect is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there throughout. What seemed like a Hester Panim was actually a form of Hashgacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to provide that salvation. We gain the benefit of being able to see Hashgachas Hashem dafka when we first experience the Gnus and only afterwards the Shevach. Approach number one of the Abu Dram. Approach number two, taken by many Rishonim and the Achronim, is that by undergoing the process of Avdus Mitzrayim, we were zoche to a certain degree of refinement. The Ran, in his commentary Al HaTorah, in Bereishis, Perek Hezvav, Pasuk Yud Gimel. So he explains that the difficulties of Avodas Mitzrayim were there. Why? To facilitate our becoming a nation. Becoming a people that was filled with Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. And ultimately, a people that was fit to live in Eretz HaKdosha, in Eretz Yisrael. He says beautifully, we know that Avraham Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu have a conversation in Parshas Lech Lecha, where Avraham wants to know, how am I supposed to know, why should I believe that I am going to be Zocha, that my children, my offspring is going to be Zocha to Eretz Yisrael? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yado atida, ki ger yezar acha be'eretz lo lohem, va'avadum, v'inu osam arba me'o shana. Explains the Ran. Can't be that Avraham Avinu, Av Hamon Goyim, the Mamin Bashem, can't be that Avraham Avinu doubted whether his offspring would get Eretz Yisrael. Bamo'idaki Yiroshena the Pashtas. It can't be. Elamai explains the Ran. Avraham Avinu didn't understand how it could be. How it could be that his offspring would merit the land of Eretz HaKdosha. Since after all, anyone who merits Kedusha must undergo a process of refinement, must experience a process of growth, a process that rids negative qualities and replaces them with that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So says Avraham Avinu, b'mo'idaki yiroshena. How do I know that they're going to be fit to live in Eretz Yisrael? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yado atidaki ger yezar acha b'eretz l'lohem. Hashem says, that's why I'm taking them to Mitzrayim. It might seem like the biggest test. It might seem like all is lost in the moment. But you should know that this is all coming from the place of Bama'idaki Iroshena. I'm taking you to Mitzrayim, to the Kur HaBarzel. I'm enslaving you to Paro. Why? To refine you, to make you fit for Avas Hashem and Yeras Hashem, to make sure that you're capable of serving me, that you instill within yourselves that commitment, that sense of duty and obligation. That's what's going to make you fit for Eretz Yisrael. Then and only then will you be able to be in Am Hashem, in Eretz Hashem. The Maisa Nisim, Rabbi Yaakov Lauberbaum, the Baal HaNesivos, wrote a Haggadah, Maisa Nisim. He explains as well that the Avoda of Mitzrayim, so it contributed to getting rid of spiritual impurities that had seeped in to our nation that had plagued our forefathers. Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. We had to get rid of those sigim, of those impurities that plagued us, that held us back. We had to get rid of those before we were ready to be Am Hashem, before we were ready to be Ovdei Hashem. And we did that by experiencing the Kor HaBarzel of Avdus Mitzrayim. And finally, the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan explains that the Avdus of Mitzrayim was necessary not just to make us fit for Eretz Yisrael, not just to rid us of the spiritual impurities of our ancestors, but Chevra, to distinguish us from the rest of the nations of the world. I want to read to you inside a beautiful, beautiful piece from the Aruch HaShulchan. V'zehu sh'amar ba'al ha'agada mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu ve'achshav kervanu ha'makom la'avodasa. Shemipnei shemitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu lachin l'tovaseinu hayos ha'galos Mitzrayim. It was for our good, the galos of Mitzrayim. K'dei she'yikarvenu ha'makom la'avodasa. Without the prior genus, we couldn't have had avodas Hashem. And therefore, what we say is, when we start with the genus, then we're going to be led to a place of shevach. Lahodos lo yizbarach al hagalus v'al hageula. When we start with the gnus, then mimela we're going to come to a point of shevach, because we will realize retrospectively that the galus was all for our benefit. The galus helped us distinguish ourselves from the rest of the shar umos ha'olam, distinguish ourselves from the rest of humanity, and reach that level where we were zocha to be the Am Hashem. That's one idea of maskil b'gnos u'misayim b'shevach, retrospective thinking. I want to explore, with the little time that we have left, one other approach to why it is that maskil b'gnos u'misayim b'shevach carries with it so much significance. The Maharal, in Netzach Yisrael, he explains that one has a full and complete understanding of a concept only when he really understands its opposite. When you can draw a clear contrast between X and Y, so then you have a clear understanding of what both X and Y really are. And that's the idea of maskil b'gnus u'misayim b'shevach. It's only when you understand the depths of the gnus that you come to realize the heights of the shevach, of the ge'ula. So too explains the Slonim Rebbe in the Nesiva Shalom, little kuntris on Inyoni Pesach. He explains as well that when we really tap into the depths of the Avodah Zarah and the impurity of Mitzrayim, and we contrast that with the heights of Emunah Bashem and Kedushas Yisrael, so that's what accentuates the greatness, the godless of the redemption, of the Geulas Mitzrayim. So by first tapping into the Gnus, by beginning by being maschil b'gnus, that's when we come to have a full understanding of the shevach. And perhaps from this vantage point, we can understand another idea that the Maharal presents in Gevuros Hashem, Perek Nun Beis. Maharal explains that if you want to undergo a process of shlemus, a process of becoming wholesome, of becoming complete, then you have to begin, you have to start from a point of lacking. You have to start from a point of gnus. Because shlemus cannot come on top of shlemus. Once something is complete, it cannot be any more complete. The definition of completion, of completeness, is that there is nothing left. So when you undergo the process of shlemus, you dafka start from a place in which you're lacking. From a place of chisaron, from a place of gnus. We have this in many examples in nature. The world was created dafka starting with tohu vavohu, with utter chaos, And only afterwards did we have the rest of the Bria, the rest of the creation of the world. Of course, we know that each day we have Laila Kodem Layom. You have a time of darkness that precedes a time of light. The Slonim Rebbe explains as well the difference between inanimate objects and animate creations. A rock was, is, and always will be the same. It doesn't undergo a process of growth. It doesn't start from a place of lacking and undergo that process of completion. Whereas animate creations, and certainly human beings, verbal creations, it's the exact opposite. You start as a little baby, totally dependent on his parents. And eventually you grow and develop into throughout the stages of childhood and adolescence and adulthood. And eventually you become that mature being. You develop that sense of Tzelem Elohim. Shlemus comes only after a process of growth, only from a place of lacking. Rav Huttner, in the Ma'amarim of Pesach, Ma'amar Yud Zayin, has a beautiful, beautiful connection to this. He says that if this is the case, that Shlemus comes dafka from a place of lacking, so maybe that explains why we dafka tell the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in a question-answer format, Derech Shelo Tshuva. Because when you engage in question-answer, you realize that the strength, the power of the response comes dafka from the challenge, from the hole, from the weakness of the question. So the method of telling the Sipur, of telling the content, matches exactly what the content is trying to convey. The Maskil Begnusu Mesayim B'Shevach, experiencing that process of going from lacking to completion, of becoming Shalim, and ultimately realizing the power, the capacity of that Shevach that lies at the end of the process. So Chevra, Maskil Begnusu Mesayim B'Shevach, it's not just the most efficient way to convey to our children how, you know, where we were in history and what happened to us when we went from Mitzrayim and we were Nigal al-Yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just the way that we convey information. The organization, the backbone of the story of the Maskil Begnusu Mesayim B'Shevach, it helps us accomplish that which we're trying to do on Lel HaSeder. It helps us ingrain within ourselves that retrospective outlook on the entirety of the story. How we realize, looking backwards, how much we really gained, how much we really grew from the Gnus. And in addition to that, it helps us also tap into the depths, the ultimate greatness of the Shevach. Because without appreciating the Gnus first, we can't understand fully what that Shevach is all about and the process of Shlemus that it led to. So if we go back to those little mysteries that we began with at the beginning of the Shir, why is it that our Rami Ovid Avi, according to the Rambam, is the Parsha of Maskil Begnusu Mesayim B'Shevach? Explains the Maisa Nisim, Rabbi Yaakov Lauberbaum, that the Hafka Arami Ovid Avi is chosen because it's the impurity of Lavan that was the worst of all. Why? Because Lavan tried to sway us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tried to persuade us to replace HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Avodah Zarah, with foreign beliefs, with Deos, Nochrios, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Chalila. Lavan was the worst of the Gnus. And from Lavan stemmed the greatness of the Shevach. That's why Arami Ovid Avi is the best parsha to use for Maskil Begnusu Mesayim B'Shevach. And I'd like to suggest very humbly, why is it that the Gemara defines the Gnus but not the Shevach? Because the Shevach can't be captured in one moment. After we undergo that whole process of the whole Haggadah, perhaps the entirety of the Seder, so that the Shevach is not limited to one moment in time. The Shevach encapsulates the entire process. The Gnus becomes part and parcel of the Shevach, such that the Gnus turns into a Shevach itself. So it's not Maskil Begnus Umisayim B'Shevach that you say one line. Rather, umesayim b'shevach, you come to a place where you realize that everything is part of the story of Shevach. And perhaps that's why the Gemara Dafka doesn't discuss what exactly the Shevach is. So as we've seen, Chevra Masel B'Gnos U'Mesayim B'Shevach, not just the best way to tell the story, but rather the incorporation, the starting point of the Gnos, it paves the way for the optimal Shevach, such that the Gnos and the Shevach become two sides of the same coin. They reveal the power of the faith in the future, and also the retrospective reflection on the past. Now we're becoming Am Hashem, refined by those trials and tribulations that we endured as part of that Gnus, and prepared and ready to live a life of commitment and service to Hashem. Ultimately, when we come to Zman Matan Torasenu at Chag HaShavuos, that's the story of Maslom B'Gnus U'Mesayim B'Shevach, only through starting as Avdei Paro, Avdos Mitzrayim, are we able to really achieve that transcendent status of Avdei Hashem and experience the Zman Cheruseinu. So on that note, I wish everybody a wonderful Yontif, Chag Kosher V'Sameach, and it's really been a beautiful Zman, Yashakach.